good to see each of you here this morning. It may be this morning that I preach a Tom Butler sermon. Probably there are not many people in this congregation who knew Brother Butler, if any. There are one or two anyway. He preached at Lake Wire, the congregation, for many, many years, probably 30 years before he went to the Edgewood congregation for another 20 years before he passed away. Brother Butler was a wonderful preacher of the gospel, and he was a character. And at that time, in the Lake Wire congregation, a very thriving congregation, they had men from all over the country come in gospel meetings, men that were well known, that did an excellent job. And I remember somebody asked Brother Butler one time, said, Brother Tom, said, what do you do when these guys preach like this and then you've got to preach the next Sunday? He said, oh, that's no problem. He said, I preach them a 20-minute sermon. They think I'm the greatest guy in the world. So I'm not promising I'm going to preach a 20-minute sermon this morning, but it may be shorter than usual, and you'll probably think I'm the greatest guy in the world if that's the case. What I'd like to do to begin is to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and here's what that passage says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There are many changes which occur when a person becomes a Christian. The Apostle Paul tells us here that one who comes into Christ is a new creation. This is not a person who has merely had some kind of facelift. He or she is totally new. This is not a reformed person, this is a transformed person. Paul says all things have passed away and all things have become new. Christians are brand new people on the inside because they are now living in vital union with Jesus Christ. They've not just turned over a new leaf, they've begun a new life with a new master. The Bible tells us about this change in a number of different places. And I'd like for us to consider some of the changes people make when they become Christians and how those changes come about. What happens when one becomes a Christian? Well, a carnal person becomes a spiritual person. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and verse 7. And let's see what the apostle says there. He says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The word for carnal in the Greek is often translated flesh. Some of your translations there that I read in that passage said fleshly there. Carnal-minded means to cater to the appetites and the impulses of our human nature. It means to be ruled by our senses, driven by our emotions, controlled by sin. And all of that means that you have a mindset that is contrary to God and His will for your life. But the Christian no longer lives with that mindset because he or she has now placed his or her faith in God, not in himself. Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This person is no longer guided by his own thinking. He's guided by what God thinks. He recognizes what God says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This person now has faith in God. Romans 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. That expression are led there in that verse, in that passage, in the Greek is present passive. Picture your mind, in your mind, the Spirit taking saints by the hand and leading them where they ought to go. The passive voice in the Greek stresses that they do not guide themselves. They're being guided. And how does the Spirit guide? He guides through the Word of God, of course. We can't tell whether something is pleasing to God or displeasing to Him except from the Spirit's teaching. God's Word. This means that this man has changed. This man no longer places his faith in himself. His faith in God has led him to a willingness to be led by the Spirit. And so this once carnal, fleshly-minded person now has a change of mind brought about by faith in God. What happens when one becomes a Christian? Well, a person who loves the world becomes one who loves God. Listen to the Apostle John over in 1 John chapter 2, beginning at about verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, and beginning at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Notice what one does when he becomes a child of God. A person is supposed to love God and not love the world. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This person has changed what he loves. He has changed his affections. He's changed his affections, and that has been brought about by God's love for him. The Apostle John says in 1 John 4, and verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And in verse 19 he says, we love him because he first loved us. This person has been changed by God's love. And his love for God is now demonstrated by his obedience to God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this person has done that and is doing just exactly that. What happens when one becomes a Christian? A person who follows man's ways becomes one who follows God's way. Listen to the prophet of God in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. We already read the passage in Isaiah 55, which stated that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. For his thoughts and ways are far above ours. They are superior to ours. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This man is not following his own way anymore. He realizes that he cannot direct his own way. And so he depends upon the Word of God for directing his way. When one becomes a Christian, he's had a change of will. Paul preached the gospel in Mars Hill, in Athens, to people who were following their own thoughts and following their own wills. And he concluded his sermon by saying in Acts 17 and verse 31, truly the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Men can't follow their own way, and so they need to change. Men can deny God, or they can ignore God, and they can seek to avoid him if they wish, but the day of judgment will come, and they will be judged for their unbelief and their unwillingness to change. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This man has had a change of will that's been brought about by repentance. Again, what happens when one becomes a Christian? Well, a person who is a friend of the world becomes a friend of Christ. A person cannot be a friend of God and Christ and at the same time be a friend of the world. James said that in James chapter 4, verse 4. He said there, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, I want to point out to you that when James said adulterers and adulteresses, he's not using these terms literally at all. The reference there is not to physical adultery, it's to spiritual adultery. In the original language, the word occurs there in that passage only in the feminine. My translation has a footnote to that effect. Yours may have one also. So really it says, you adulteresses. The whole concept that James introduces here is based on the Old Testament idea of God or Jehovah as the husband of Israel. And Israel as the bride of God. This is a very common picture, particularly in the Old Testament. Isaiah 54 and verse 5 says, your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And God said to his people through Jeremiah, surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so you have dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. Jeremiah 3, verse 20. The Old Testament constantly expresses spiritual infidelity in the term of physical adultery. And it's in this spiritual sense that the New Testament speaks of an evil and adulterous generation, Jesus said over in Mark 13 and verse 39. But this picture of Israel as the bride of God and the husband of Israel, God as the husband of Israel, that is a very precious picture. And thus it means that to disobey God is like breaking the marriage vow. It means that all sin is against God's love. It means that our relationship to God is like the intimate relationship of husband and wife. It means that sin is infidelity to love. And that when we sin, we break God's heart. That's behind the thought, I believe, of James chapter 4 and verse 4. And when the commentator William Barclay gives his own translation of this before commenting on it, he translates the passage like this. Renegades to your vows, do you not know that love for this world is enmity to God? I think that captures the sense of it. James speaks of being a friend of the world in that passage. What is it to be a friend of the world? What does it mean to love the world? The term world there is from the Greek word cosmos. It's often used in the New Testament in the sense of the world apart from God. The godlessness of the world. The world's disregard for God. Its intentness on its own ways and its refusal of the ways of God. We saw that in the passage from Romans 8 and verse 7 about carnality. Those who insist on assessing everything by human standards and whose interests are purely human interests. Their ideas are necessarily at variance with God. That's what it means to be of the world. I think the best commentary on this may be the saying of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 24. He said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You see, there are two attitudes to the things of this world and the things of time. The first is that we may be so dedicated to them and so immersed in them and so dominated them by them, but the world becomes our master. There's a second option. We may so use the things of the world as to serve the Lord and our fellow men and prepare ourselves for eternity so that the world is not our master, but it has become our servant. A man may either use the world or be used by the world. To use the world to serve God and to serve our fellow men is to be the friend of God. The Christian is no longer a friend of the world. He was once that, but now he is a friend of God in Christ. And we know that, at least in part, because he has confessed Christ as his Lord. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This person has done that. He is no longer a friend of the world. His allegiance has changed. His allegiance is no longer there. His allegiance is to Jesus Christ, the one who saved him from his sins. He has confessed Jesus as Lord, and now the Lord will confess him as belonging to him. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. The change that this man made is a change of allegiance brought about by confessing Jesus Christ. But again, what happens when one becomes a Christian? A person who is a child of the devil becomes a child of God. Obviously, one cannot be a child of God and a child of Satan at the same time. Jesus said of some of the Jews of his day, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father, it is your will to do. The Apostle John said in 1 John 3, verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The devil is where sin comes from. We know that by reading Genesis chapter 3. The devil sins because that's who he is. We sin for the things and the pleasure that we think those forbidden things will bring to us. I believe John is saying that the devil sins as a matter of principle. Sin is the self-chosen principle of the devil's life. In this world, there is a principle and a power which is hostile to God. And to sin is to obey that power instead of God. John further says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. People who sin, and that's everyone, people who sin who have not come to God in repentance and obedience are not children of God. And if not, that means they're children of the devil because they're under his control rather than submitting their will to God. However, one need not remain under the sway or the control of the devil. He or she can change. And that's what happens when one obeys God. The change is a change in a relationship that takes place in baptism. Listen to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Think about that. Put on Christ. That's the idea with which we begin our lesson. Coming into Christ. Being in him. Where a person changes from what he was, the old man, to what he now is, the new man. But again, what happens when one becomes a Christian? Well, a citizen of the power of darkness becomes a citizen of the kingdom of God's Son. Go with me to John chapter 12, verse 46, and listen to Jesus there. John chapter 12 and verse 46. Jesus says there, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Jesus came as a light into the world, so that men would no longer abide in darkness. Also look over at Acts chapter 26, verses 15 through 18. Acts chapter 26, verses 15 through 18. This is when the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, And he told Saul what his purpose was for him. And he said this, verse 15 of Acts 26, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Men would turn, Jesus said, from darkness to light. The Apostle Peter echoed God's purpose for man in sending Jesus when he said in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, listen, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What's happened here? This person is no longer living in darkness. Paul says of every Christian in Colossians 1 and verse 13, He, speaking of the Father, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The King James Version renders it this way, He hath translated us into the kingdom. The Greek word that Paul uses there for translated is a word with special use. In the ancient world, when one empire won a victory over another, it was the custom to take the population of the defeated country and to transfer them lock, stock, and barrel to some other land. We know that from our study of the Old Testament. The people of the northern kingdom, Israel, were taken away to Assyria. And then the people of Jerusalem and the southern kingdom, Judah, were taken away to Babylon. This transference of whole populations was a characteristic of the ancient world. And so Paul says that God has transferred the Christian into his own realm, into his own kingdom. God has taken them right out of the sphere in which they used to live into his own kingdom and into his own power. And of course, in the case of the Christian, it was a rescue that was taking place. And so this is a change of citizenship brought about by a translation from one kingdom to another. Now let's go back to the verse with which we began in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is certainly true, isn't it? A sinner becomes a saved person, and everything changes. Here's the way Paul describes this change in Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. He said, But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Where this person had been on the broad way that leads to destruction that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, he or she is now on the narrow way that leads to life eternal. So let me ask you today, are you a changed person? Are you a new creation in Christ? My friend, you need to be. If you're living your life only in the flesh, you need to give attention to becoming spiritual. That's a change of mind brought about by faith in God and His Son. If you're living life your own way, you need to change your will by repenting of your wrong. If you're friends with the world, you need to change your allegiance by confessing Christ as Lord. And if, as a sinner, you're under the sway of the devil, you need to change your relationship to become a child of God. You do that by being baptized into Jesus Christ. Is there one here this morning subject to that invitation? If so, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Where livest thou in pleasures?